Welcome, everyone. We're going to spend some time today really thinking through that message from Brother Steve. You know, the one from Wednesday night, August 20th.
That was quite something.
It really was. It hit on some, well, some profound topics. Our spiritual growth journey, for one.
And also that maybe more challenging part about what God in his perfection actually hates.
Right. So our goal here really is to pull out the key insights from Brother Steve's sermon.
Exactly. What do we need to remember? What should we be applying as Christians trying to live faithfully in, well, let's face it, a pretty challenging world these days?
Mm-hmm. And it's all coming straight from the word shared that night. We're grounding this conversation in the transcript of that message.
Good place to start.
So let's begin with that first big theme, the path to spiritual maturity.
Okay.
Brother Steve, he drew a really clear line right away. He wanted us to understand that spiritual maturity isn't the same as salvation.
That's crucial. Salvation, he said, it's a one-time event. Done. Sold.
But growth, spiritual growth or sanctification, that's different. That's the ongoing process, right?
Absolutely. And understanding that difference is vital because, well, it helps us grasp why God saved us in the first place.
Okay.
It's not just for our ticket to heaven, though. Praise God for that. It's so his glory, his grace can be seen, displayed through our lives right here, right now.
We become like living proof.
Exactly. And if we mix up being saved with being mature, we might just coast. We might miss that call to keep growing, keep displaying his character.
That makes a lot of sense. So to help us see this path, Brother Steve laid out three categories, you could say. Stages of development.
Mm-hmm. Stages of maturity more than just time pass.
Right. Not strictly chronological necessarily. More about where you are in your understanding and walk.
Okay.
So first up was the spiritual child.
Okay.
He described this person as someone who knows God as Father, knows Christ as Lord. It's relational.
Which is wonderful. A starting point.
Yes. But maybe not super deep theologically yet.
Hmm.
And that that leads to a vulnerability. Discernment.
Exactly. Poor discernment makes them susceptible to false teachers. They can get pulled in different directions easily.
But, and this is important, they are saved.
Definitely. He stressed that. They believe in the true Christ. They want to obey. They show love. They even hate the world, though maybe imperfectly. They're in the family.
Just need to learn to walk more, surely, maybe. Avoid the pitfalls.
Which brings us to the next stage. The spiritual young man.
Right. Moving from just that initial relationship to something more solid.
Yeah. A solid foundation of knowledge. They're described as strong in the word.
And because of that strength, they can overcome the wicked one.
Now, this was interesting. Brother Steve's point about the wicked one's main activity today.
He said it's not primarily tempting us to sin.
Right. I mean, our own flesh handles that pretty well, unfortunately.
I know.
But Satan's major work, he argued, is false religious systems. Building them up, preparing for that end times mystery religion. Like an amalgamation of errors, tracing back to ancient stuff, like Babel.
Exactly. And the spiritual young man, strong in sound doctrine, can stand against that. They recognize the deception.
So truth versus lies, that's the battleground.
But even being strong in doctrine, Brother Steve noted they're still vulnerable.
To fleshly sin.
Mm-hmm. Like Paul calling himself the chief sinner. It reminds us that doctrinal knowledge alone doesn't make us immune.
No, it doesn't. But he added a nuance there, didn't he? About the attitude towards sin.
He did. Maybe the frequency of sin decreases, but what really grows is the hatred of sin. When you stumble, it genuinely grieves you, shakes you.
It's more than just oops. It's a deep offense against the God you know better now, a sign of alignment with his heart.
Well put. And that deepening alignment points toward the highest stage, the spiritual father.
Yes. Knowing him who is from the beginning.
God himself. This isn't just knowing about God or knowing doctrine. It's knowing him.
Personally.
Intimately.
Like an exhilarating, worshipful knowing. The God behind the doctrine.
Exactly. The relationship is richer, deeper, because it's informed by sound doctrine, but it transcends it. You understand the heart of the author.
It's like coming full circle back to relationship, but on a whole new level. Built on truth. That's the goal, isn't it?
It really is. And the power for all this progress through all these stages?
A word of God, unequivocally.
No shortcuts. Mm. He's very clear. It's life-giving. It transforms. It renews the mind. It's how God's character gets formed in us.
Essential, not optional. He even pointed to Jesus's prayer in John 17.
That we would know the Father like Jesus knows the Father. Mm. Intimately. Mm. Accurately.
That's quite a standard for us, his followers.
It is. It really makes you stop and think.
So the question for you listening becomes, you know, where do you see yourself on this path? What does that desire to know God more deeply actually look like day to day?
How much are you engaging with the Word, really?
Good questions for reflection.
Okay, so from that call to maturity, Brother Steve then shifted gears to something quite stark.
Yes, that passage from 1 John.
Chapter 2, verses 15 to 17. Do not love the world or the things in the world. Mm-hmm. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him.
Phew, that's direct, especially for us living right in the middle of it all.
It is. And he was careful to define the world here.
Right. Not the planet, not trees and mountains.
No, but the system, its values, its philosophy, its appeal.
The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that whole package.
And he stressed that stuff is not from the Father. And the world system itself, it's temporary, it's passing away.
Fading. Don't invest your heart in something that's fading.
Which then led him to discuss, carefully, God's hatred.
Which can sound jarring, can it? We think of God as love.
Absolutely. And he is love. But Brother Steve explained, this isn't like our flawed human hatred, you know, spiteful or resentful.
No, it's a perfect hatred flowing directly from his perfect love.
He put it so powerfully. To love perfectly means you have to hate perfectly.
Meaning, he has to hate whatever opposes or threatens what he loves, whatever is contrary to his holy nature.
It's inseparable from his character, not a contradiction.
Okay. And he hates specific things. Brother Steve went into that using Proverbs 6.
You did. First on the list, a proud look, haughty eyes.
That look of disdain, like, you're better than others. He called it the fountain for other sins, disobedience, rebellion, self-will. It starts there.
Makes sense. Then a lying tongue.
Because God is truth. Lies are fundamentally opposed to him.
Third, hands that shed innocent blood.
And he was specific there, wasn't he? Mentioning murderers and abortion doctors. Taking innocent life.
Yes, he was very direct. Fourth, a heart that devises wicked plans.
So not just stumbling into sin, but deliberately scheming, planning corruption.
Right, intentionality. Fifth, feet that are swift in running to evil.
Again, that purposeful pursuit of wickedness, eagerly going toward it.
Sixth, a false witness who speaks lies.
Perjury, lies that destroy, that attack justice and truth itself.
And seventh, maybe one that hits closer to home sometimes.
Yeah.
One who sows discord among the brethren.
Ah. The troublemaker, the divisive person within the community of faith.
Mm-hmm. And he made a practical point there about addressing those traits early in kids, how important that is.
That's a valuable insight for parenting, for sure.
He also touched on other things. God hates divorce, idolatry, false religion, hypocrisy.
And basically anything inconsistent with his holy nature, things that oppose who he is.
So it seems like the common thread is, these things distort God's character or destroy the relationships he values. His hatred is aimed at protecting his love and truth.
That captures it well. And the central point, the one he kept circling back to, God hates the world, the system, its grip on us.
He takes a stand against those who love the world, according to 1 John.
Which, really, it forces a serious question on us, doesn't it? When push comes to shove, who or what do you really love? Where are your affections?
That cuts deep. And it ties into the final part of the message, connecting all this back to why John wrote his letter in the first place.
Right. He said the goal isn't to make genuine believers doubt their salvation. Not at all.
No, quite the opposite. It's to give true Christians assurance and also tools to discern.
To tell the difference between real faith and, well, just claims. To know what a Christian looks like and what a non-Christian looks like, even if they use the label.
So John gives these tests for assurance. Brother Steve outlined them.
Mm-hmm. Affirming Christ's deity, recognizing your own sinfulness.
Demonstrating obedience to God's truth, actually doing it.
Showing love for other believers.
And connecting back, a hatred of the world system.
It's a package deal, really. These things should characterize a believer's life, even if imperfectly.
And Brother Steve really stressed how vital this discernment is for the church today. He talked about infiltration.
People claiming faith but denying core truths, or living in ways that clearly show love for the world.
Exactly. He used that example of someone professing faith but then, months later, divorcing their spouse for someone else. Actions speak volumes.
It underscores why sound doctrine isn't just academic. It's crucial for living a sound, true life for the Lord.
Doctrine informs living. They can't be separated.
And then Brother Chris asked that question, the one many of us probably think.
If we obey in love, don't we just naturally grow over time?
Yeah. Like, it's automatic, passive.
But Brother Steve's answer was well, quite direct. He said growth isn't automatic. It depends on your labor.
Your desire to grow. You have to want it.
He used that analogy, the word is like treasure. You don't just trip over it. You have to dig.
Actively pursue it. Work out your salvation, Philippians says. Not work for it, but work on it. Sanctification takes effort.
It's an active partnership with the Holy Spirit, fueled by the word.
Mm.
So thinking about all this, how can you, listening right now, use these insights? Maybe do a spiritual inventory.
And how does it sharpen your discernment as you navigate the world around you, especially when things seem so confusing sometimes?
You've covered some really significant ground today, reflecting on Brother Steve's message. That call to move beyond spiritual infancy toward real maturity.
Toward knowing God intimately, worshipfully.
And wrestling with that hard but necessary truth about hating the world system because God hates it. Because His perfect love requires it.
And these aren't just ideas for a sermon. They have real practical weight for us, trying to live as Christians in, well, what feels like an increasingly dark world.
We're called to be different, distinct, to let God's word genuinely change us from the inside out.
So His glory shines through us, living testimonies.
So maybe here's a final thought to Tyron. If we understand God's perfect love and perfect hatred, how might actively cultivating a greater hatred for the world system, its lusts, its pride, its fleeting nature,
and intentionally cultivating a deeper, more intimate love for God's truth,
how might doing that actively, fundamentally change your daily walk? How might it impact how you interact with the world around you?
That's something worth pondering deeply.
We really encourage you, keep thinking on these truths. Keep digging into God's amazing word for yourself.